Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that is a very true song.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I lay awake at night.
Amen.
But I know one day he's going to take care of everything. It's good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. I want to welcome anyone that is visiting with us this morning. I want you to know that you are honored guests. Hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that will cause you to think about your soul's salvation. I don't know about you, Satan knows exactly what it takes to pull us from our steadfastness. And you know, and he's so good at it that he dresses it up to make it look just so appetizing. Amen, Walls. But I'm learning that it's only when you stay with the truth that you're able to recognize Satan and his devices. And so this morning, I just want to give you some encouraging words from Matthew's gospel as he talks about the power of our Lord. You know, God had some serious power, and guess what? It still works today.
Amen.
You know what the problem is? We don't believe in the power that God has bestowed upon us. We're almost just like the disciples. They had Jesus in their very midst, and they didn't even understand the power that he possessed. He's given us the power. I mean, the power to overturn many of the obstacles in our lives, and we don't really understand the power we have until sometimes we're flat on our back and we're looking in his face. But that's why the child of God has to constantly renew his spirit through the Word of God. We just got through singing a song that is very dear to me because it talks about trouble. Anybody got trouble in their home? You got to cry sometime. No, you got to pray. And when there's trouble in the church, how many of y'all lay awake at night just thinking about the locale of this church? Where would the church be? And I'm talking about those of us that hair looks kind of like mine. Some of y'all are a little grayer than mine. You know, I don't use no Grecian and any of that stuff. But do you stop and think about where the church will be 5 years from now? And if you stop and think about where it will be in the next 5 years, what are you doing to encourage that the church remains? And I don't know about you, some nights I lay awake. I'm concerned about the body of Christ at this locale.
Amen.
Not only that, but I'm concerned about my own household. So sometimes I cry, sometimes I mourn, and sometimes I just sit there in awe, knowing that Jesus, he's gonna fix it. He's not gonna do it the way Stan wants, because if he did it my way, boy, and I like it done yesterday. But I'm learning that in the midst of everything that goes on, God's people must remain steadfast and unmovable in their Christian walk. So when trouble is in our way, that's the time we need to call on the individual that can help us out of the trouble. In Matthew chapter 11, and round about verse number 28, Jesus would remind us that in the midst of everything that goes on, he still reigns supreme. If we would just keep him supreme in our everyday life. He says in verse number 28, "Come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest is predicated upon me doing something. You know, everybody wants to be rich. But what are you doing to make your riches? Everybody wants peace. But what do you do to get peace? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So does that make any sense how you're going to get there if you're not willing to do something? And so Jesus says, "Come unto me all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Jesus said, if you're heavy laden, if you don't know which way to turn, turn to me. But to turn to Jesus, that means I got to be willing to do it his way. You know, there's all kinds of ways, you know. You know, there's a restaurant that say you can have it your way. And that's how we want our religion sometimes, don't we? We want our religion half-baked, half-cooked, put some onions and some pickles on it. But see, if you're going to really follow Jesus, it's got to be his way. He says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy. Sometimes it's difficult to be a Christian. Is it? Jesus said, my yoke is easy. You know why it's difficult to be a Christian? Because we like to straddle the fence. I know you're saying, no, I don't straddle the fence. Hell yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. From the pulpit to the back door. Did I leave anybody out? And sometimes we straddle the fence because being a Christian sometimes become difficult. But Jesus says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for us. And I'm learning that in the midst of trials and tribulations, that's the time you need Jesus. Amen. But you really need him when things are going okay. Amen. Because see, when things are going okay, guess who's around? Your adversary. And he gonna make everything be all right. And so sometimes we become just like the children of Israel. We become ease in Zion. Everything is going okay. Grits in the pantry, loaf of bread under both arms. And boy, we just as happy as a lark. But that's when Satan really comes at us. Jesus says in verse number 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And church, and I'm learning that when you surrender your will to the will of God, even in the midst of everything that goes on around you, God is still in control. And so for the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 8. Round about verse number 18. Where the disciples are in the midst of the ship. Jesus is with them, but they don't understand who Jesus really is. How many of us sitting here this morning, we know about Jesus. We think he's on our side, but we really might not really know him. Because see, to really know Jesus requires us to do something. It requires more than just mere lip service. It requires some action. And you remember James said something about that. Faith without is what? So you can talk a good game and be dead. But see, in order to really do what God requires, it requires action. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 8 and round about verse number 18. The Bible says, now Jesus, seeing the multitude about, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. And there are certain scribes came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus said, I'm not tied to this world. I'm tied to another world. The Bible says in verse number 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Boy, I wished I had some time. Because see, when Jesus is on board, you can go to sleep. Amen. And you don't have to worry about nothing. Church, that's indicative to our lives. That when we live our lives as children of God, doing what God requires in the midst of trials and tribulations, you can go ahead and go to sleep because the Master is on board. That's why the child of God ought to be the most excited person on the face of the earth. Amen. The most motivated, the most enthused. Why? Because when Jesus is on board, you don't worry about anything else. How many of y'all are worried about tomorrow? You don't have to raise your hand. Because I know that you know that I know that God knows that you know that you're worried about tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to even make tomorrow. And you're worried about tomorrow. What if you don't make it through tonight? But see, when Jesus is on board, you take no thought for tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Amen. Jesus said, you got enough problems right here. And so here in this text, Jesus is on board. The waves are beating against the boat. And seeing, I know that's too much ocean to try to drink. Amen. That's why I stay on dry water. Because I know the dangers. Here they're on board. Jesus has went down below and have gone to sleep. And I want you to see the reactions of the disciples, because their reactions is the same reactions we have. We're not on the water, but is there some waves in our lives? Is there some sickness in our lives? Is there some death, some confusion, some depression in our lives? See, we don't have to be on the waves. See, we got waves in our lives.
Amen.
But see, when Jesus is on board, you can go to sleep just like he did. Why? Because the master is in control. Don't miss that. See, when the master's in control of your life, you don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because he holds tomorrow in the hollow of his hand. The Bible says he was in there asleep. Verse number 25. And his disciples came to him and woke him up. Boy, that's another lesson. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all need to wake Jesus up in your life.
Right.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, when you wake him up, you better be ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
See, but if you ain't ready for him, let him sleep. That's why sin is so prevalent in our lives. Because we haven't woke up Jesus. Because see, when Jesus is awake in your life, you'll know how to treat somebody. Amen, Walt. You'll know how to love somebody with the agape love. And you know what? When it's time to do kingdom business, no excuse.
Amen.
Amen. But if you don't wake him up, guess what? He'll stay asleep. And you'll stay asleep. The Bible says his disciples came and woke him up saying, save us. Oh, that's some good stuff right there. You know, because Jesus can't save you until you wake him up. Yeah. And as long as he's asleep in your life,
okay,
nothing he can do for you. You ever wonder why you like popcorn? You ever wonder why it's easy to slip in and slip out? He's asleep in your life. Because see, when he's asleep in your life, it'll be like the prophet Jeremiah. It'll be like a fire shut up in your bones. You can't help yourself. See, when it's time for the first day of the week, we ought to be running over folks to get here.
Yeah.
And we ought to be here with some enthusiasm, some encouragement. Why? Because that world out there needs to know that there is a better way. You can see it right here inside of me.
Amen.
When I come here, I'm ready. Why? Because he put me to sleep last night.
Amen.
And he woke me up, and the feet barely would move, and the head was hurting. And I said, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
And he said, get on up.
Amen.
You go down there and you preach the gospel. Well, Lord, what am I going to tell them? Tell them I am.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Right.
Because see, when you wake up Jesus in your life, he makes the difference in our lives.
Amen.
Church, I'm going through. See, you don't know half of what I go through.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I got so much mess going on up here in this little brain, but I know Jesus will fix it.
Amen.
Why? Because I depend on him. I trust him. And even in my wee-wee hours, Sister Harmon can't help me. I need Jesus. And I know that all I have to do is cry out, Abba, Father, and he said, I'll take care of everything else. How do you get a peace that surpasses understanding? I'm at peace, and it's confusion up here. Because I know the peace comes from God himself. The disciples go wake up Jesus. And Jesus has some words to say to his disciples. This morning I want to wake somebody up to let you know that Jesus has been sleeping your life and you just don't know he's asleep. He's on board, but he might not be on board with you. The disciples wake up Jesus, and I want you to listen to Jesus' response. The Bible says they woke him up saying, save us, we perish. Anybody here perishing this morning? If you haven't obeyed from the heart the gospel and been added to the body of Christ, guess what? You're perishing. If you're part of the body of Christ and sitting and doing absolutely nothing, you're perishing. If you're here every Sunday, every time the doors open, and you have not put your name on that, oh, I know I can get there, on that board back there to teach the word. If you're not back there to clean the building, guess what? You might be perishing.
Amen.
You might not know it, but I just stopped by this morning to show you that Jesus is on board, but might be asleep in our everyday lives. The Bible said they told Jesus, wake up, save us. We perish. The Bible says in verse 26, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? That's a message within itself. How fearful are we as people? Huh? You don't have to say nothing. Because if I was to look at some of your faces, oh, man. And if they could tell the story, how wary, how fearful are we about the world in which we live in? How many of us are so worried about everything that nothing gets done? See, and that's what usually happens when you worry about so much. You do absolutely nothing. The Bible says, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds. Don't miss this. See, because when you wake up Jesus in your life, he'll calm. Calm your life. But see, in order for him to calm your life, you got to do something. Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 12. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. God ain't going to go to work till you wake him up. Amen. If you don't wake him up, guess what? What can he do? For it is God that worketh in you to do, both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Do all things. Boy, aren't we the grumbling, mumbling Israelites? It's just 2016. But boy, we grumble about everything, don't we? Both of bread under both arms, got everything you need, and it's still just not enough. And you know why it's not enough? Because you have not woke up Jesus. Because right. When you wake up Jesus, he will give you everything you need. Amen. The Bible says he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. 27, highlight it if you got a highlighter. Circle it, because that's us. Amen. That's us in verse number 27. Jesus is on board, and you don't even know he's on board. Jesus is in control of your life, and you're worried about everything but making heaven your home. Boy, this is something that is powerful. Because, see, when Jesus is really in your life, you don't worry about a thing. Why? Because he takes care of everything. Look at what the brethren say. Both the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this? You don't have to amen this, because I know it's true. Because sometimes we wake up and don't realize that Jesus is in control of everything. And then when we do wake up, man, what kind of God do I serve? And you know, and sometimes he has to put you in the pig pen, in the slot, before you recognize that you serve an awesome God, a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. A God said, if you seek me first, I'll take care of everything else. These individuals are on board with the master. He done gone to sleep because he knows who he is. They don't even know who he is. They're afraid of the wind. They're afraid of the storms. How many of us are afraid of the storms in our lives? And then when we do wake up Jesus, we marvel. You ever prayed and asked God to help you, and all of a sudden there's a calm in your life? Yes. We're just like them. Man, what manner of man is this? Look at what they say. And they marvel, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas. I wished I had some serious time. Because if he can get wind and the seas to obey him, what's our problem? Huh? These are elements. He can control the elements. The elements know who he is. And we've obeyed from the heart the gospel and added to the body of Christ, and we don't know who we have on board. Matthew chapter 6, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and cast in the other, he feeds the birds of the air. He asked the question, are you not better than birds, than the lilies of the field? What's our problem? Don't have no faith. Don't know who's on board. Title of this lesson this morning is titled, The Power of Our Lord. Church, I don't know about you. I serve an awesome God. And I'm learning that when we truly understand who we serve, life takes on a totally different meaning. Even in the midst of death, death gives us a victory that motivates us beyond the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. When we understand that death is to pass over to the Lord, boy, we ought to be looking forward to it. We don't have to be worried about it. Why? Because see, when Jesus is on board, he's going to take care of everything else. See, the apostles, it's just like you and I. They wanted Jesus. They knew who Jesus was, but they really didn't know the power that he had. He had the power that even the wind, waves and the wind obeyed his very command. And if you and I have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, we ought to understand that nothing or no one can stop us or hinder us but ourselves. Amen. And I'm learning. If I get out of the way, there ain't no telling what God can do. Amen. And I know he will. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 3. I want to show you the power that God has and the power that he has relayed to you and I. Church, we got some power. You know where the power is? It's in this word. Amen. Tell me any book in the world today to tell you how you got here, mm-hmm. how to live, and where you're going. Mm-hmm. Can you name one? Yeah, I can. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the only one that tells me how to live this life and how to forgive, forget, and move forward. In this text here, I want to show you the Lord has some power and he's giving it to you and I. The problem is we want the power on our terms. And when you want it on your terms, guess what?
It's not gonna work.
You ain't gonna work. That's right, brother. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 3. Listen to what Peter says. According to his divine power has given unto us all things. That's what I like about God. Because see, if I ask you for all things, you might be like Ananias and Sapphira. You might want to hold back. But the Bible says, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How did he give it to us? Through the knowledge of him who hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's given us everything. What's the problem? We don't want it the way God gives it to us. You know, some people, you can give some people something, and that's not what they want. Anybody ever give you a white elephant? Oh yeah, you understand that. And what you do? You put it up somewhere till you can give it to somebody else. No. But somewhere down the line, church, we have to understand God has given us everything, but we have to be willing to accept it the way he gives it to us. Peter says, according to his divine power, he's given us all things, that at the knowledge of him, we can escape the corruption that is in the world. Verse number 5. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Peter said God gives us everything we need. Amen. But what happens? We become blind. See? The cares of this world will make you blind to who you really are. Mm-hmm. You can get so wrapped up, tied up in you, you'll forget that you were made by somebody else. Yeah. And you'll forget that you think you've done it all by yourself. No, it was the power of God. Amen. But he didn't stop right there. He goes on to say, but he who lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sin. If God gives us everything we need, what do we need to do? He says, wherefore the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling an election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us everything we need.
Amen.
The problem is we want it on our terms. Point number one, receive his power by being obedient.
See,
if you're not obedient to what God requires of us, you know what? You'll never receive his power. The power comes through obedience. Just because you sacrifice some things That doesn't mean a whole lot. It's through obedience. And obedience comes when an individual is willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Point number two, you got to love God's commandments and you got to keep them every single day of our lives. And it's by keeping his commandments that the world truly know who lives in the sight of us. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. New commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By the love we have for one another. See, you must love to keep his commandments. John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12. The Bible, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. John chapter 14 and verse number 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. See, in the final point, in order to receive the power that God has laid out, you got to be faithful and you got to be active. Amen. Amen. Faith without works ain't no good. James chapter 2 and round about verse number 14. Listen to what James says. What does it profit, my brother? Though a man say he has faith and has no works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them nothing, none of those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, I have faith and have not works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith. How? By my works. Thou believe that there is one God, thou does well. The devil believes. He got more sense than we do. He trembles at God. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. Well, will thou know, O vain man, faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son unto the altar? Seeing then that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made faith made perfect, and the scriptures was fulfilled, saying, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse number 25. And I like this verse because that just goes to show, you know, when you turn your nose up, when you don't want to be bothered, God will use what we call the worst of worst to get his message across. That's why you never can ever count out anybody. Because God doesn't. The Bible says, was not Rahab the harlot justified by her works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Conclusion, when was the last time you used your power? Right now. The power that I'm talking about is not in you, but comes from God. The power to overcome many of the obstacles in our lives comes from an individual being obedient to what God requires of him. The power that I'm talking about is not something that makes you feel good, look good, and sound good. The power I'm talking about helps you to endure the trials and tribulations that you're going to face on this time side of life every single day. The power that I'm talking about is the power that's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul would put it this way, Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 5, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do I be strong in the Lord? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul says the power comes from God himself. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. There's only a couple months left in this year. And I don't know about you, I'm constantly looking at inventory. And you know, as I look at inventory, I don't look at you. I look at me. I look at my effectiveness, first and foremost to my God. Then my effectiveness to the body as a whole. And if I've fallen short, I repent and ask God to help me to get on the right track. I don't know about you. This year might be a turning point. All the way around. Yeah. And I want to encourage you and remind you, you better know God now. Amen. Before darkness falls upon the face of the earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Judges chapter 21 and round about 25, I'm always reminded of that passage. In those days, there were no kings. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. God said, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves. And that's what's wrong with America. That's what's wrong with the world. Yeah. You know, you step on my big toe, I'm going to shoot your cat. You know, that's just the way it works. If we would just humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our sins, he said he'd see from heaven. He'd heal the land. Somewhere down the line, you're going to need Jesus. Is he on board this morning? And he went on to sleep. I want to encourage you to wake him up. Members of the body of Christ, it's best that we don't know the truth and do absolutely nothing. I don't know about you. When I read James chapter 3, it's a scary passage of scripture to read. When I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and round about verse number 27, it's a scary passage of scripture for me. After I have teached others, I myself should be a castaway. And then James says, be not many teachers or preachers, for greater is your condemnation. I don't know about you. I plan to stand before my God and hear well done. You know why? Because I'm going to check the balances in my life. Right. If I've fallen short, I'm going to ask him to forgive me. Amen. And I want to make amends. Mm-hmm. I want Jesus to be alive and well, because somebody's going to be looking for you tomorrow. Amen. Amen. God's going to send somebody your way. And what will you do with them? Will you just turn them away? Or will you take the time to make the difference? We've been saved but for one purpose. That's that world out there. I want to encourage you. Church, we have the power. Peter says, according to his divine power, not just some power, divine power, has given unto us everything we need. Amen. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, if you seek the kingdom of God first, he'll take care of everything else. Amen. Those of you that are visiting, want to encourage you. Think about your soul salvation. And I know most young people say, well, I'm young, I got time. I wish that was true. I wish that was true. I buried them this small to this long to this wide to this tall. When death comes, they don't care about it. Don't care about young or old. But when death comes, will Jesus dispatch from heaven the pallbearers to take you to the other side? See, that's the confidence that I have. That I know one day I got to give it up. I already know that. And I can just see all of them just crying and going on. I see you crying. But I'm going to remind you, weep for yourself. Because I'm going to go on to glory. Amen. I'm going to make my call in the election. Yes. You say, preacher, you sound like you're pretty much perfect. I am. I got the word. Yes. I got the word. Amen.
that helps me to stand perfect before my God. Does that mean I mess up? Yes, I mess up. But I got the word that helps me to be justified in the sight of God. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.